We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
And away we go with our numero dos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. It is the Rob Brown Show. It is the Fan Upstate. Great to have you, my friends. I am Rob Brown on the other side of the metaphorical glass this AM, the guy in charge of this and every radio program everywhere on planet Earth. That's good. The bad ones, nothing to do with him. Maybe they should learn. The great Lonzo in charge on the ones and twos today. We want you to be a part of the radio show today. It's true. It's damn true. Get at us on the renewal by Anderson to the Carolinas fan phone at 844-F-A-N-F-O-N-E, 844-326-3663. You can text us. The text line is open and ready for you at 71307, 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N, and we'll read them on the air. Here's a question that pertains to a conversation that we had yesterday on the show, that pertains to what we talked about this morning on the show back at the beginning of hour number one. It is peak off-season radio. I don't care. You know, everybody asks who's your goat of this or who's your favorite that, and that's all well and good. Who's the biggest villain in sports? Who's the guy you hated the most? Genuine curiosity. We talked about villains and bad guys.
It's obvious for me.
Yeah, no, we know. It's obviously Tommy Touchdowns.
Without a doubt.
There's no other guy that Lonzo turns full Colonel Grudge into over faster than Tommy Touchdowns.
John Elway may be a close second.
You've dogged Elway. You've dogged Marino a lot as well.
He never won anything.
I mean, he won a
but
lot.
But I don't dislike him. He just never won anything. He was all right in that Pet Detective movie. Marino, not good on when he was on the panel for pregame. Never just seemed a little haughty. But, you know, other than that, you know, some people are that way.
So who?
But Elway sucks. So does Tom Brady.
Why does Elway suck?
Look at him.
The Brady thing I get. The Brady thing I understand. I don't agree, but I get it.
The Elway thing you should get also.
I don't get the Elway thing.
Back when I first became a Chiefs fan.
Yep.
Who was their biggest rival?
I mean, I'm assuming, obviously, it was the Denver Broncos.
It was Denver, and it was Elway. I mean, so many shootouts on a Monday night, especially between he and Joe Montana when Joe Montana went to the Chiefs.
Joe Montana was a quarterback, you idiot.
By the way, I found out yesterday, I was watching Rich Eisen, that Superman is a big-time Kansas City Chiefs fan. When Henry Cavill came here, according to
I thought you were saying, like, in canon.
Well, no, what he said was he wanted to get into American football. And he was Superman at the time, and he wondered what team would Superman be a fan of. And this was before Patrick Mahomes.
That's a hell of a way to pick a team.
Yeah, it is. And so he picked Kansas City.
I respect it.
And he's been on the sidelines and everything. So
I respect it.
You know, I think that's really cool.
See, here's why the villain thing's interesting to me. And we're coming to the water cooler cheat sheet here in just a mere moment. Stick around. There are guys that played for, were the face of rivals.
I still have another one, John Starks. Man, could not stand that guy.
John Starks.
What a punk John Starks was.
What a name for you to pull out of left field.
I wanted to go with something non-football. I hated that guy. Man, so annoying.
Why?
Because the Bulls going up against them all the time, and he just was that guy. He was that annoying guy that every team has, but he's punchable. Is he not punchable? You're talking about bad guys in sports. Some of them are just punchable.
Okay. I mean, look, whatever your reason is, John Starks was retired before I graduated high school. So, like, I knew of him, but he was overshadowed his entire career.
Remember when people absolutely hated Matthew Dellavedova?
Yes.
It's the same sort of thing.
Okay.
It's that kind of pesky, shorter guy, just always.
Shorter guy. He was 6'5".
Yeah. Well, anyway, what's shorter to some people?
I mean, in the NBA.
Yeah. I mean.
So, villains in sports. And the reason I'm intrigued by this primarily, because, and I've never thought about this, at least as it pertains to Lonzo's hatred of one John Elway. There's a lot of guys that played for rivals of mine that I hated them when they were players, but also like very much respected them, very much liked them. Luke Kuechly destroyed my Saints for years. Luke Kuechly devastated my Saints.
Kuechly in his prime destroyed everybody.
That's true.
Arguably one of the greatest linebackers of all time who didn't know how to slow down. That's why he's no longer playing.
Luke Kuechly, as a player.
But you consider him a villain? I mean.
To me.
Yeah.
To me. It is subjective.
Because he seems like one of the coolest, nicest guys out there.
For sure.
Not on the field, obviously.
Destroyed my team for a number of years. And even though he did that, couldn't help but like the guy. Couldn't help but like him. There was a villain in sports that played for the Carolina Panthers for Rob Brown growing up. It doesn't take much to guess who the hell I'm talking about.
No, I was going to say another short guy. Yeah.
Old Steve Smith. Steve Smith.
Broke the nose of his own teammate. Yeah, not exactly. Yeah.
Hated that guy.
One of the problems that I believe Cam Newton had, because I think he threatened to beat Cam Newton up all the time. So Cam was forcing the ball to him every time he was
on
the field.
Bro, I'm pretty sure Steve Smith threatened to beat everybody up.
Yeah.
Anybody. These hands are rated E for everybody. All right?
Zach doesn't know who John Starks is. Look it up, kid.
Kid. I hated Steve Smith. But here's the thing. Once Steve Smith was no longer a Panther, once he was gone, now I love that dude. Like, I can't get enough Steve Smith in my life. I love that guy. He's phenomenal. His, we have Rashad Beard from the Panther Nation podcast on every Thursday. My favorite PNP ever was when Rashad and Dave got to sit down and talk with Steve Smith. I was like, God dang, this guy's entertaining as hell. He's awesome, man. I love this cat.
Bill Laimbeer hated him too. I mean, there's just, but everyone hated him.
Everybody hated Bill Laimbeer.
Yeah.
Everybody hated that team as a whole.
Could not stand Isaiah Thomas. Just the expression on his face.
So who is your favorite bad guy in sports and why? Your favorite villain? Lonzo holds grudges against rivals.
I don't know it's necessarily a grudge if you don't like your rival. That's the whole point of rival. You know?
What I'm saying is you don't let it go against an individual even after they're out of the game.
Even if they move to Detroit.
Even if they to play for the Pistons?
Yeah, of course.
Obviously?
That's what I meant. Yeah.
I
no longer have to hide that.
I don't hide my I don't hate my rivals. After they leave. Like, once they're not a rival anymore, unless they just were. Like, Steve Smith is the example. I should still hate Steve Smith.
Is it the wrestling mentality? So someone who's a villain can turn babyface when they go somewhere else because they're no longer a villain to your team.
I don't know. I should hate Steve Smith. He torched my team regularly. He torched my players regularly. He talked more than the rest of the league combined for years. And yet now, years later, despite still being a Saints fan, I love Steve Smith. I have worked on And it's come close a couple of times getting him on this show. I hope we can sooner rather than later. I've almost had him, I think, three times, and three times something's come up. Just bad luck. I hope we get him on the show. I don't hold a grudge against Steve Smith, despite the fact that he broke me.
I will say, most of the guys that I consider villains that I don't like, they had villainous qualities. And I think you've got the same thing. Steve Smith had villainous qualities where someone could go, okay, yeah, I see why you don't like that guy.
For sure, Steve Smith had villainous qualities.
You don't understand the Tom Brady thing, but he's big time villain.
See, I don't see him that
way. He's a cheater. Because a good guy breaks his phone when people are about to investigate. I mean, he did a bunch of things that are definitely, if he was in a movie, he would be the villain.
He's Adam Banks from the first Mighty Ducks.
I don't know why you always go to Mighty Ducks.
Because it's a great movie.
It's your go-to.
It's a great movie.
I'm just thinking Brady definitely high ranking in Hydra. That's my go-to.
All right. So who's your greatest bad guy in sports? James said, as an Eagles fan, I'm picking Michael Irvin. James said, Agent 89 probably looked like a villain to Saints fans. Roman Harper found out. Yeah, Roman Harper did have a around find out moment with Steve Smith, for sure. For sure. Texter said, Dorman High class of 97. I have zero adult friends that went to Spartanburg High. Rivals are rivals. That's from Spartanburg Jay. Jay said, I don't even associate with those people. I don't know. Maybe I'm a half-hearted fan. Maybe I'm a half-ass fan. Like, I have dear friends that are Falcons fans, despite the fact that I despise their football team. Despise it. Hate them.
Guitarist in my band for over a decade was a Denver fan. We always had some problems. And that was part, there were other problems, but that was definitely part of it.
Maybe I'm just a half-hearted fan. Maybe I'm not as big a sports guy as I thought I was.
Ooh, Russell, I haven't seen The Departed, but I'm pretty sure that Rob has.
It's a good movie.
So is that an apt comparison?
It's not unfair. It's really not unfair. All right. It's really not. Text just said, my biggest rival in sports, Skyline Chili. Thanks, Jason Kelsey. Good text. Skyline Chili is a rival of mine for sure. Text just said, this is Marvy Marv, probably going to call me crazy, but I hate Michael Jordan. Great player, but I hate him. I actually am not going to call you crazy for that.
Yeah, especially if you were not a fan of the Bulls and you didn't like all the hype and everything that he got, and he beat everybody's team.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that will make you not like someone.
Everybody got the smoke from Mike. And Mike was definitely a dude with an attitude. On top of that, and I don't mean this any sort of way, but it kind of is what it is, it's been proven over and over again, Mike Jordan, not a great guy.
Yes.
Not a great guy.
But a great smile. And,
yeah.
And, you know, some villains have those.
Not a great guy. Certainly, if he ain't the GOAT basketball player, he ain't any further down than two or three, depending on who you ask and how old they are. I don't have an issue with you hating Michael Jordan. He was a hateable character. I think the reason Mike resonates so much with guys my age and slightly older was because when Mike was at his peak, when Mike was at his prime, most of us didn't really have a team yet. You were still kind of in that developmental stages as a fan. Like, if you came from a family that was like a hardcore Boston fan, hardcore Knicks fan, you might have. But the majority of people my age, at the point that Mike was Mike, we hadn't assigned ourselves to a fandom yet.
Have you noticed something, though? The villains that have been named are only football and basketball.
I've gotten three Bryce Harpers so far. Of course, if you are
he plays baseball.
He does play baseball for the Philadelphia Phillies, as a matter of fact. If you're a Braves fan, you hate Bryce Harper because he's a Braves killer. In fairness, he's an everybody killer. Everybody the Phillies have lined up against in the postseason, Bryce Harper has broken hearts more than he hasn't.
I see. I know someone who you can't stand in MMA.
And now, Connor?
Yeah. Do you consider him a villain for
yes!
you? Yes! Okay. All right.
I don't consider him a villain for me. I just consider him a villain. He just is. You punch an old man in a bar, you're a villain. I don't care how great of a showman you are.
That was an Irish mafia thing. I'm still saying.
Whatever you got to make up in your head to excuse him punching an old man.
He punched an Irish mafia guy who just turned and looked at him like, is that all you got? And then went back to his drink. I thought that was the bold move there was the old man.
You know how I know?
Unfazed.
You know how I know that's not true? Because Conor McGregor is fighting, but not for his life. That's how I know it wasn't an Irish mafia guy.
Hey, there are different movements, sects, whatever you want to call within the mafia. Sometimes you need to send a message. A message was sent.
He's an old man puncher. All right? He just is. It is what it is. It is what it is. All right. Here's what we're going to do because I said, oh, we're coming to it. Texas said, I like them both, but there's a reason that Denny Hamlin and Michael Jordan are buddies. Holy cow, that is the perfect. Yes, you are correct. Denny Hamlin, also a jerk. My favorite thing last year, he wins a race, he gets on the mic, they go, how do you feel right now? And he looks at the crowd and he goes, I feel like I just beat your favorite driver, and then just walks away.
That's kind of awesome.
I love it. I love it. I can love a villain if they're villains to somebody else. You know what I mean? Like, I get it. I get it. I like that. I'm all in on that smack. That's good stuff. All right, who's your favorite villain in sports? Texter says, I bet Robert Parrish still gets Christmas cards from dozens of retired NBA players for knocking out Bill Laimbeer. The referees hated Laimbeer so much, Parrish didn't even get a tech. Laimbeer is by far the most hated villain. I would say in the NBA, he's in that mix, for sure. But also, I hate to say it, he's kind of in that class that, like, it's far enough away now. I bet if I went to the majority of younger NBA fans, they'd have no idea who Bill Laimbeer is. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, I screwed up. What are you going to do? This conversation matters to me. Water cooler cheat sheet next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Listen, you're still within that hour until it's time to get to the office. It's time to start replying to those emails. It's time to, you know, work. And then after like 13, 14 minutes of that.
This is for the late people. The people got to work the late today. We moved it for you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
For those of you that don't go on the clock until 9, this one's for you. And also, who's your biggest villain in sports was a conversation I wanted to have. So when you get to the office and you take your first legally mandated office break, don't let anybody make you feel bad for taking your break. It's the law, all right? Take that break. Walk down that hallway. Go to that water cooler. Set up shop. Talk sports with your coworkers like America's founders intended. And if you're going to do that, it's the water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers this morning. If you're going to do that, you're going to need this. Let us jump directly into item number one. The NBA playoffs begin in earnest tomorrow with round one, with Orlando at Cleveland, Phoenix at Minnesota, Philly at New York, and LA at Denver. That, of course, would be the New York Knicks and the LA Lakers. But there are still two playoff seeds yet TBD. The 8 seed in the East will be decided this evening when Chicago is on the road at Miami. That game will be at 7 p.m. tonight. Miami enters this game as a 1.5-point favorite. The over-under, the lowest of the play-in tournament so far, set at 205.5. A big part of the reason why is because the Miami Heat will be without playoff Jimmy. Jimmy Buckets has a sprained MCL, which will require him to miss multiple weeks of action. Jimmy Butler gonna be sat down with that sprained MCL. Of course, the last couple of years when Miami has made playoff runs, they have done so in no small part thanks to Jimmy Butler finding another gear. Now Miami, led by Tyler Hero, will have to figure out how they're gonna get by.
Be your hero. Baby.
He's going to take like 93 pointers tonight. It's going to be a mess for the Heat.
What if he makes, you know, like a third of them?
Then they will win and move on because Chicago is still not good. They're just not good, but have the benefit of not catching playoff Jimmy in the play-in game. The winner of that game will make their way to the 8th seed, and on Sunday afternoon at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, they will be on the road at the Boston Celtics, the 1 seed in the East, a 1 seed that, as we have mentioned already this morning, was locked up weeks ago by the Seas. They are the odds-on favorites to win the East. They are the odds-on favorites to win the NBA title this year. However, Boston's got a history. They've got a reputation. They have got a playoff rep that they've got to beat if they want to get that done. The Western Conference 8 seed is in flux as well, as Sacramento is on the road at New Orleans. No Zion Williamson in this one. He has got a busted up hammy. Now, we do not know the timetable for the return of Zion Williamson. What we do know is he is, of course, unavailable this evening as he recovers from that hamstring issue. So the Pels will go into this game also as a 1.5-point dog to a team that they are 5-0 against in the regular season. But as I pointed out yesterday to the great one, as Steven Tyler once said, it's the same old story, same old song and dance, my friend. We're screwed, we're dumb, we're toast, we're cooked. B.I. and C.J., we're just not good last time out. And unless they have a complete and total 180 from a game in which CJ McCollum was averaging 35 over the last 7 and then scored, what was it, 9 on 1 of 9 from the arc? The Pellies are cooked. We had a good run. We had a good year. Willie Green's not the guy, but we signed him to an extension. Life is pain. Basketball is misery. Sacramento enjoy the playoffs and getting smoked in round one by the Thunder.
There's no part of you deep down inside in that black heart that's beating that goes, maybe your team could win.
I have literally already bet Sacramento to cover the 1.5.
That doesn't mean there's still not a part of you that believes.
As
nothing in you believes in your team to win tonight.
As May the Barkeep from Ted Lasso said, it's the hope that kills you. Is there a little part of me in the back of the lizard brain that goes, SMBA, any given Saturday? Yeah, sure.
Or Friday. Or
Friday, whatever today is. Yeah, sure. Like, I'm going to be watching. Like, I'm obviously going to be in the Bro Cave tuned in. I will obviously be sporting my Pellies gear and optimistic once the game tips. But no, I give the New Orleans Pelicans about a 0.01% chance of winning this game tonight.
So, if they lose, don't break anything. But you don't expect them to win.
Correct.
So, I mean,
I'm already, okay. Listen.
When they win, don't break anything.
The minute that Zion checked himself out of the game and hobbled to the locker room to let. And again, I was texting my my uncle, big Pelicans fan, big basketball guy. The reason I love basketball, I was texting my unc, and I'm like, cooked. He's like, yep, probably. We both knew. And it wasn't just cooked against L.A. Because, again, I believe, Trista Crick believes, Ryan Horvat believes, we are all on the same page. Zion finishes that game. The Pelicans win that game. They're already in the playoffs.
I don't believe that. Because it was neck and neck, and it was Lakers scoring first and then Pelicans tying it. Lakers scoring first, Pelicans tying it. If you look at how that was going, the Lakers were going to score and then stop the Pelicans at the end.
I mean, if you don't acknowledge the fact that the Lakers had given up an 18-point lead, which means that obviously the Pelicans were putting the brown thing in the round thing more frequently.
But did not allow the Pelicans to go ahead. They tied, but they did not go ahead.
Yeah, they did. The play Zion got hurt on put him up a deuce. They had the lead.
Did it?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. By two?
Yeah.
That's insurmountable.
That's enough
NBA.
To win by.
Is it?
Yeah.
Not when there's still a lot of time left on the clock.
It was like a minute and a half. Look, the point is, either way, they're cooked without Z. Because B.I. and
C.J.
have lost
their
stride.
Lost for sure. There's no doubt in my mind they lose that game, even with Zion there.
So you just went from, no, they wouldn't have win. You can't make a definitive statement to definitive statement.
Well, because you won't do it, so I will. Yeah.
Attaboy.
The Lakers would have won.
Come to the dark side.
There's no doubt. I'm the heel on this show. I'm not on other shows, but I am on this show. I'm fine with that.
Item number two. That game, by the way, is at 10 p.m. If you are going to stay up.
I thought it was 9:30.
Or 9:30. Don't stay up and watch it.
According to this paper I read that, you know.
Don't stay up and watch it. Don't lose sleep over this.
Go to bed early on a Friday night?
Yeah, I'll stay up. I'll have the report in Monday. I'll bring my depression live to the radio first thing Monday morning.
He's going to come in and go, I cannot believe they won that game by as much as they did. The Pelicans are moving on. We got hope. If they did that to this team, they're going to be able to do this. Who are they playing again?
Oklahoma City, if they get
Oklahoma
it.
Oklahoma City, yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, and I mean it. A healthy Zion, I absolutely believe the Pelicans can take the Thunder to seven. I absolutely believe with a healthy Zion, they can take them to seven. Because while Chet Holmgren's good, Zion will run through his chest as he did to LeBron James.
Oh, he absolutely did. LeBron, if LeBron ain't in shape at his age.
He is dust, my dude.
He probably was dust.
He is Thanos'd, my dude. I like the Thunder a lot. I like a young, zesty team. I think the Pelicans, I'm not saying they can win that series. I'm saying they can take Oklahoma City to seven and give themselves a chance with Z. All right, real quick, item number two is the fact that the Los Angeles Superchargers have said they are willing to trade back out of the five spot. We know that we're now 6 days away from the draft. We know that quarterbacks are going to dictate how this goes, predominantly the order that they are drafted and or the teams that are willing to make a lot of jumps and moves around the first round of the NBA draft in order to get there. We just didn't know who was going to move first. Is it going to be the Cardinals? Could it be the Vikings jumping up? The five spot is occupied by the LA Superchargers and their brand new head coach, Lonzo's favorite NFL coach, Jim Harbaugh.
Lives in a van down by
the river. Well, while he was in the van down by the river, he came to the conclusion the Chargers will move off that five spot. They'll be willing to jump back. If Arizona jumps out of four, now we got chaos in the top six picks. Yes, please. We'll talk more draft stuff as the show rolls on. Mark Benetti, voice of the Rabbits at 8. Tyler Pollock of the Greenville Triumph at 9. All coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Spectacular, as always, to have you. I am Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, on the ones and twos today. Should you elect to be a part of the program, You can do it. The Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas fan phone is available for you at 844-FAN-FONE. That is 844-326-3663. The text line is available as well at 71307. 71307. Start your text with the word FAN, F-A-N. Jump on the show. We talked a little bit of NBA playoffs just mere moments ago. Let's keep that going as the playoffs themselves get underway tomorrow. What are we looking at? What are the storylines that we are following in this game as we get set up, or in these games, for the play-in? Well, out in the West, again, we're still waiting to find out who's going to be the 8th seed, New Orleans or Sacramento. It's going to be Sacramento, as they are set to make a run at the Oklahoma City Thunder. As I have mentioned a couple of times, I like the Thunder. I like the way they play. I like the way they base the game around SGA. If Chet Holmgren didn't have Victor Wembanyama, who appears to be everything we thought he was going to be when all the draft hype fired up, Chet Holmgren would be the rookie of the year in like 9 out of 10 years. I like this team a lot, but this team is very much young. This team is a team that I think if there is a team at the end of this year, as we have done in years gone by with Atlanta, as we have done in years gone by with Sacramento last year, every year there is a squad for whom playoff inexperience bites them. And I kind of wonder if that's Oklahoma City this year. It feels like it is to me. Because whether it is New Orleans, whether it is Sacramento, the edge in terms of experience very clearly belongs to them at this point. The edge in terms of experience points towards a Sacramento team that lit the beam multiple times last year. The edge belongs to a Pelicans team that has been in these play-in spots multiple times in years gone by. They know, I think, how to win in a spot like this. I don't know that the Oklahoma City Thunder do. And that is my primary and biggest concern in this spot. Does the youth, does the inexperience come into play for either one of these two teams? For me, if there is one that it does, it is going to be the Oklahoma City Thunder. I like this team. I just think that they are going to get beat. Denver and the Lake Show. I have said a couple of times, I think LA's got a chance to make this interesting. Denver's the better team. As we have pointed out time and time again, Denver is a team that I think has been playing with their food more than they haven't pretty much throughout this entire season. I think Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray, I think this team is dramatically better than they have shown. I have wondered when it is that they are going to hit the afterburner this year. So far, they haven't. And they frankly, let's be clear, they have not had to, if we're being honest. They at no point really ever felt like they were threatened. No, they didn't get the one seed. Yes, Oklahoma City did. I don't know if Denver cared. A team takes on the personality of its leader. It takes on the biggest personality of its most successful player. Mike in the Bulls, Kobe in the Lakers, pick any of the Giannis in the Bucks. A team takes on the personality of its superstar. Lonzo, in a sentence or two, describe Nikola Jokic to me, please. Like if I asked you for just a handful of adjectives to describe Jokic, what would you utilize?
He's a family man who believes that at home matters more than work. You work so you can play, and he loves horses.
And he loves horses. And America, too. That's Tom Petty.
He's also like one of the best basketball players on the planet.
Yes, he is. It does help quite a bit when you are, you know, that. I love this cat. I love this cat. He is probably my favorite active player right now. I don't know how he wouldn't be. The dude is just an easy fan favorite. I'm a big fan. I think the team has, to some degree, adopted the personality of Nikola Jokic. Do they take it seriously? Yeah, of course they do. Of course they do. But I think they have eyes on a championship before they have eyes on anything else. I think they are more concerned with getting another trophy than they are anything else. And because of that, I don't think that they have been going full tilt throughout the course of the season. However, as Zach just said on the stream just mere minutes ago, when you have LeBron and you have Anthony Davis, you also have a chance. I could not agree with you more. And I don't think that you need anything more than a chance. I still think Denver's
also
a better team.
I was going to say, they also have other pieces that could definitely help out if they step up.
They do. They have D'Lo. They have Austin Reeves. How dangerous is Austin Reeves when you can only throw your third or fourth best defender at him? Right? He's not the greatest basketball player in the game. But he is very dangerous as a scrappy little dude when you put your fourth best defender on him if you're playing a man. Now, the Nuggets are one of the few NBA teams that can play a successful zone defense. And I think you'll see a lot of that out of Denver against the LA Lakers. The problem with a zone is that a zone usually creates a world in which the other team's number one superstar can have their best game. That's LeBron or D'Lo, depending on who's hot that night, but it's LeBron. But what it does do is say, you got to do this by yourself, bro. Now, as we have talked about, playoff LeBron is a different breed of cat. Playoff LeBron is not a joke. Playoff LeBron is very good. Playoff LeBron is a guy who is absolutely going to go out there and get you 25, 26, 27 a night. He is that guy, and he is that good. So, to me, playoff LeBron is the biggest threat here, especially if Denver does decide that they are going to throw a zone at this team, that they are going to throw a zone at this squad and just see if LeBron can do it with as little help as they can allow him to have in this matchup. And I do think that that is something that has to be concerned. You have to be concerned about if you're a Laker fan here. I'm going to take the Nuggets in six. I think the Lakers can win a couple. I think the Lakers can win probably two at the house, but we'll see. Timberwolves Suns. I like this series a lot. I love Anthony Edwards. I love Anthony Edwards. I love him as a player. I love him as a student of the game. Anthony Edwards is a guy that can adapt his game at any given moment, and Karl Anthony Towns plays off of that. Now, you guys have heard me for the last 2 years now talk about a guy that I think deserves to be mentioned amongst the best in the league, and very rarely is. That's Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns. D-Book's a high-caliber player. I think there's a couple of things that are going bad for Devin Booker. I think one of them is that even when Kevin Durant is on and off night, they still try to run the ball through him. I don't think that, to me at least, I don't think the Phoenix treats Devin Booker like a bona fide superstar. Wait.
Kevin Durant still plays basketball.
Very well, as a matter of fact.
Are you serious?
I am very serious.
I did not know that. You rarely hear his name anymore.
Kevin Durant is still playing basketball to the tune of 27 points, 6.6 rebounds, and 5 assists per game. By the way, outside of Draymond, Have you noticed, great one, whether we're talking about Kyrie or Kevin Durant or James Harden or anybody else, have you noticed that the back half of this year, at least, the usual suspects of guys that we make fun of on the show for being drama queens, head cases, whatever you want to call them, have you noticed they've almost all been very quiet the back half of the season?
It is weird.
Isn't it?
And it's not just a matter of them being ignored to the point where maybe they're still doing stuff that people just start talking about. They're just quiet.
Yeah. Kyrie has shut up about the earth being flat. James Harden is just super quiet.
Maybe KD just got better at hiding the burners.
I mean, maybe. Maybe. But I'm not even seeing like the quote tweets of the jokes, how every time anybody supports KD on Twitter, a million quote tweets about how I found KD's burner. He got another one. Didn't even see that right now. So the Phoenix Suns are kind of interesting to me, but I just think this is, you know, we talked about earlier. We talked about how I think playoff inexperience is going to be the doom of the Oklahoma City Thunder. I'm looking at the Suns here going up against the T-Wolves, and I'm thinking the T-Wolves are kind of the opposite here. Not a ton of playoff experience on this team, at least not compared to Durant and D-Book and the rest of these cats. But what I am going to say is I think the Timberwolves, they just out-athlete Phoenix. I think they just Rudy Gobert in the middle, locking down the rim, Ant-Man and Cat on the outside, scoring from anywhere they need to. I think Phoenix is just outclassed in this series. Clippers-Mavs in the 4-5 game. Honestly, this might be the most competitive first round series in the West. If there is a 7-game series, if there is a full length series in the West, it's the Clippers and the Mavs. On one hand, you've got Luka, who is, we've pointed out, is a triple-double threat every single night out. On the flip side, we mentioned him a minute ago, James Harden seems to have his head in the game. You do have a problem. It looks like Kawhi Leonard's going to miss some time. Kawhi Leonard is a guy that you need. He is questionable for game one. I am hearing that it is trending most likely towards him not being there. If he's not, a guy that Charlotte fans are very familiar with, PJ Tucker, will likely slide into the starting power forward role.
Did Mario throw a jinx on Kawhi?
Dude, it's just Kawhi.
I mean, because he was very favorable of Kawhi, and now all of a sudden, we'll see if it happens again on something.
For the record, I like Kawhi Leonard a lot when he's healthy, when he's playing, which unfortunately is less often, frankly, than he needs to.
He hasn't been relevant since he was in Canada, unfortunately for him.
I want to disagree because he's had some good runs in him. It's just like every time the Clippers have needed Kawhi, he gets banged up. Terrence Mann, Ivica Zubac, I like this Clippers team. On the flip side, I just think ultimately Luka Doncic is the X factor here, right? Like if I ask most fans, outside of Luka and Kyrie, name me the next most important Dallas Maverick. Could you do it? Who plays the five for this team? Correct. Most people, it's Daniel Gafford.
Oh, yeah, Danny.
We talked about Danny.
We all know Danny.
We brought Danny up on this show multiple times, and yet we still don't remember. This game is Luka and Kyrie. Can they both go get theirs? I'll take Dallas in this series. Because I think Luka, especially if Kawhi is going to be down for any length of time. All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to run to a break. Lonzo's going to enthrall you with the sports flash. And when we return, Mark Benetti, the voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, will join us here on the show. We are getting set for playoff hockey coming up this Sunday and Monday at the Well when the Bits welcome the Orlando Solar Bears into town. We'll talk with Mark Benetti about the playoff run for the Bits through the ECHL after they were named South Division Champions. Then, after that, the very next segment, Tyler Pollock, longtime vet of Your My Hour Greenville Triumph, joins the show. We'll catch up and see where the Triumph are after a phenomenal start to the season. Has the momentum continued? We'll talk with Tyler Pollock at 8:20, and then we'll jump back into the rest of our NBA first round playoff preview coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
All right, well, less than a week until the NFL draft, there's a lot of questions about moves that may or may not get made, but at least one team has made their intentions somewhat clear. The LA Chargers are willing to move out of the five spot. General Manager Joe Ortiz said it would take a very attractive offer to move, but with quarterbacks expected to come off the board 1, 2, and 3, the possibility is there. The Gamecocks baseball team faces their toughest It's really tough test of the year as they start a 3-game series against Arkansas this weekend. The number 2 ranked Razorbacks are 30-5 and just dropped from number 1 spot this week. First pitch tonight is scheduled for 7 p.m. with a 3 p.m. start tomorrow and 1:30 first pitch come Sunday. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire, with Cole Bryson and Diesel, and they're going to get you up to date on all things sports.